This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
I'm genetically a male. I was assigned male at birth, but I'm also intersexed. I have a chromosomal mistake. I'm a mosaic. Parts of me are just a normal XY chromosome, and other parts of me carry an extra X chromosome.
In the end of your 40s, you decided to transition as female?
Yes, I did. And it was really just a case of I finally needed to just have a bit of freedom in life to actually exist instead of trying to hide my body.
So tell me what it's like going through the process of puberty, growing up, and having to access bathrooms and washrooms and change rooms.
Okay, I found myself I had to bind my chest or wear compression shirts to try and hide my breasts, for starters. And in change rooms and bathrooms, there was always an issue. I had to try and hide in a corner somewhere so people couldn't see anything. On a few occasions, some people saw what I had down there, and the amount of torment that I received from that was pretty incredible. So I tended to try and stay away from change rooms as much as possible, so that really precluded me from going swimming or, well, I couldn't go swimming because I couldn't take my top off. I couldn't go into change rooms and change while there were any other people there. As far as bathrooms go, at the time I was trying to present male. I guess during puberty I had to learn how to transition to be male. I had to learn the same sort of techniques that a trans man would have to, how to hide their chest, how to hide features, and how to appear far more masculine. It wasn't until later in life that things started getting easier when I decided to transition the other way. I was still trying to use male change rooms initially. And the more weight I lost, the more attention it started to receive. And then I started to get challenged in change rooms. Why was I there? And there were people that were actually trying to get into the change rooms, looking at me as if I was some sort of a freak and, you know, wanting to just see what's there.
In 2013, a threatened anti-discrimination lawsuit by a parent of a transgender child opened the door to Queensland schools introducing unisex toilets, change rooms and sports teams. In 2014, Swinburne became the first university in the Victorian capital to install a gender-neutral bathroom for trans and genderqueer students, following the growing trend to raise awareness around transgender issues at university. However, the bathroom debate has not always been full of positive experiences. In mid-2014, the Beat Mega Club, known as a queer-friendly nightclub in Fortitude Valley, was accused of discrimination and physical assault of an 18-year-old trans patron named McGregor, who said he was involved in an altercation with security after an incident regarding which gender toilets he could use. McGregor said to the local media, "I explained to them again that I am a trans man, but then they asked for my ID and security said that until my ID says that I'm male, I cannot use the men's toilets." For some people, using toilets is a political issue. Sheila Jeffries, a feminist lesbian and professor in political science at the University of Melbourne, who was unavailable for comment, authored the paper The Politics of the Toilet, a feminist response to the campaign to degender a women's space. Jeffries not only finds the terms and conditions around transgender experiences and identities problematic, but asserts that people who transgender are still, through their lifetime experiences, the gender they were assigned at birth. Jeffries acknowledges that there is increasing literature and campaigning activism which seeks to degender public toilets, but she's critical and equates biologically determined women's only bathrooms with women's equality. I spoke to the Australian Human Rights Commissioner Tim Wilson about rights and equality when it comes to bathroom usage.
Of course, access to public facilities should be treated within the framework of human rights for everyone, including transgender Australians. But any policy change needs to be done engagement with transgender Australians to understand what works in their best interests. The practical reality is that there are challenges that will be faced against the backdrop of how we've traditionally divided public bathrooms, and we need to make sure that all parties and all stakeholders are engaged in any process of reform.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.